To clarify, genetic modification, gene transformation, and genetic engineering, even biotechnology in an agricultural context, all refer to the same thing: taking a gene from one organism and inserting it into another. The scientists who discovered this technology back in the 1980s weren't even looking for ways to improve plants. Iowa State University agronomy professor Khan Wong was on the laboratory front line then, working with biochemists studying agrobacteria and plant tumors. Their goal was to better understand human cancer.
Maybe the plant cancer can give us some insight of other type of tumor, right? So their motivation is to cure human disease. So by working on the plant disease, they hope we'll get some knowledge, but, you know, they completely open up a different can of worm, right?
They discovered that certain agrobacteria could infect a plant, cause a tumor, and then leave the disease behind even after the bacteria was removed. It's like if you had strep throat, a bacterial infection, but then after your course of antibiotics, the strep is gone, but the sore throat remains. Forever. Sounds horrible, right? The researchers figured out that the evil bacteria had a particular plasmid that did the dirty deed, exiting the bacteria and then inserting itself into the plant cell nucleus, thereby permanently changing the plant's genetics.
You know, the light bulb switch on and say, hey, we have a tool.
The research focus moved away from human cancer. Scientists in both academic and industry labs set about determining how they could harness this tool to move good traits. Now an ag giant, Monsanto emerged early as a leader in biotech. The company demonstrated successful gene transfer in tomato plants in 1987. At Monsanto's Chesterfield Village Research Facility near St. Louis, tour guide Tom Hokeen picks up the story.
Basically, we have scientists that figured out, you know, the gene that the bacteria move? Take the gene out. And we put a gene into the bacteria that we'd like to have moved. And the bacteria moved the gene for us.
He's in a long, dimly lit hallway, pointing to a large flat-screen monitor that shows an illustration of the soybean genome. He says the key is to identify a protein that has a desired effect on a plant and then figure out what gene to transfer to force the plant to produce that protein.
So what if I can find a protein that slows down sap flow in a corn plant? Doesn't need as much water. Drought. What if I can find a protein that allows a plant to photosynthesize a new way so I can spray Roundup over the top and not kill it?
Roundup is Monsanto's widely used herbicide, which previously farmers had to be careful not to spray on their crop plants because it would kill everything.
Do you know where they found the gene? The Roundup Ready gene.
In a bacteria?
Yes. Living in the wastewater treatment plant where we make Roundup.
In 1996, after meeting newly established regulatory requirements, Roundup Ready soybeans hit the market. So from aha moment to farmers' fields took less than 10 years. Today, genetic engineering is ubiquitous and controversial. With young technology, there's only so much data about safety and long-term impacts. And now that the technology is out of the lab and in people's pantries, some consumers are skeptical of the science and fearful of the implications.
Because there's some people call like Franken-seeds.
Mike Starr is the manager of the Seed Lab at Iowa State University, where this robot manages liquid samples to help with genetic testing of seeds. He says public perceptions vary by culture. In Europe, genetically modified products remain more closely regulated than here.
There's just more of a concern for some reason in Europe about you're messing with the genetics. And I've done a great deal of testing, and people have asked me whether I'm concerned about biotech seeds. Well, I'm not.
Starr has a small farm. Like many farmers, he's seen good results, even during last year's drought, from seeds containing modern traits, including genetically engineered ones. Within the scientific community, though, there is some recognition that the safety demonstrated today can't predict the ultimate impact on humans, plants, or the environment. Several states, including Missouri and Iowa, are considering mandatory labeling of foods containing genetically modified organisms, which is many. Over 90% of the country's corn and soybeans contain GMOs. That means they're in products from cereal to candy to soda. I'm Amy Mayer, Harvest Public Media.